This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We kick off hour number two. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com.
Portal Watch.
The official credit union of Three and Out.
I got a name for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Defensive tackle Dejon Terry. Oh.
Wait, who?
Dejon or Dejon Terry. 6'4", 320.
I said mustard. I was wrong. 6'4", 320.
Yeah.
That's a big boy.
D-tackle from All Kansas. Right. He entered the portal. Apparently, we're in. Like, we're in on him. Might come here. I welcome any and all transfers until we can't take them anymore.
Yep. You said, what, like four spots left, you think?
Something like that.
Okay.
Unless they can back count for last year, but I don't know if they can or not. That's one of the – no one ever knows.
Mm.
The coaches know. Like, that's it.
Right. Well, we joked about how when Pruitt took over, the only reason he kept Gillespie for a minute was to get the information on the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Gillespie had the folder that tells him how many.
Callum tweets in.
What if we just start taking more guys than you're allowed? What happens?
Scholarship restrictions? We're going to have that anyway.
Yeah. Like,
whatever.
Just
come on.
Maybe just I would do it and then count.
I mean, obviously, you can't go above 85. Like, you can't do that. But until we get there, I would do it and then appeal to the NCAA. Like, no. Like, we have 85 scholars. Mm-hmm. Also, how does that work? Like, it's not like they could come in. Let's say, hypothetically, we get to 85 in the next 3 weeks.
Hypothetically?
I didn't say that. That was pretty good, though, hypothetically. The NCAA, they can't take away, like, current scholarships, right?
I wouldn't think so.
So if we get to 85, it's, you know, you're safe for a year.
I'd dare them.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I would appeal until, you know, till I get to 85, but then they would just say, like, okay, moving forward for the next 2 years, you only have 20 spots in your class.
I mean, just give them the middle finger and tell them, shut up your butt.
I mean, do you have to submit a report or something? Like, I don't even think they would know. Like, I think the key to cheating is to get your whole compliance department in on it. Because, like, the NCAA doesn't check all that. You're supposed to just self-check yourself. But, of course, you know, integrity is the most important thing around here now, mm-hmm. not winning football right. games.
But we don't know that.
Yes, we do. That's what they
Can you not do it both? Can you have both? I think so.
In order to build a program in which you breed champions of life, you got to build integrity first.
No offense, like, yeah, but if integrity wasn't the thing we were going for, we would have a different head coach. No offense.
That's a good point. One of three guys.
Freeze, Chadwell, Kiffin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. During the show the other day, Jamie Chadwell's wife was showing this Jamie Chadwell bobblehead, and I think they said there were still some available, and I meant during the break to show you guys and maybe go buy one, and now I can't. God, I'm going to go look this up.
What's wrong with you?
But I completely forgot.
You know, there's still a chance down the road that Chadwell could end up here. So let's not burn the bridge just yet.
My money's on he's the next Florida coach after Mullen leaves.
No, we've talked about that. That'd be just
him, him coming in here and beating our ass.
Nate'd love it because it'd prove him right.
We talked about that in the break too.
Kenny asks, "There's no chance for Jay Hardy?" I don't know. I'm sure we're kicking the tires there, but no idea.
Oh, yeah. This is what it was. It was a Jamie Chadwell bobblehead. If you buy it, the money goes to a charity.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. So you going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to see how much this is.
We're going to put him right here?
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can ask Jamie what he thinks on certain topics.
Sure, sure. Yes or no questions.
He'll always agree with us.
Yep. Good take by me, right, Jamie?
Yep. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. David Ubbin goes through all the different positions.
Is that necessary?
Well, it's their, you know, kind of school by school thing. So I was just
school by school.
Yeah, they're doing this whole series at the Athletic, you know, the off season type of thing.
So gotcha.
This one's just the Tennessee one.
Anything good?
What do we think about the offensive line? Are we really going to start a walk on left tackle? I mean, a former
walk on left tackle. If he's good, why not? Mm-hmm. Sullen's twins were pretty good. They were walk on.
He is 6'7", 325.
It's a big dude. They can't be worse.
Heupel's been rock solid since we got here.
They can't be worse than they were the last 3 years under Will Friend.
That's a good point. I'd rather have less stars, more results.
Yep. So, did they rank the offensive line last year, Dave, like they did the year before? Did we see, like, postseason rankings?
Yeah, we need a Pro Football Focus offensive line rating where we ranked. We're supposed to be like, you know, second in the SEC, maybe the country. We probably were like 13th.
Okay.
I'm much more worried about the defensive front seven than the offense.
I'm cautiously optimistic about the defense.
Are you?
Well, they really don't have any expectations. And I feel like they don't have to be nearly as good as, you know, you typically think of when you have a good defense. They shouldn't have to be that good. Mm. So, I don't know. Yeah, make a few plays here and there. I mean, under Pruitt, if you give up 28 points, like, you've lost the game. With right. Heupel, you give up 28, you might win by 14. So, I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, lower expectations, not as much pressure on them. It's going to be difficult, but I don't know. You got some ballers over there. It's also tough, too, because the orange and white, I mean, we didn't have anybody. Everybody's out.
Right.
We got Juwan Mitchell now. We're getting some. We got that D-tackle transfer. We might get another one. Sounds like, who just sent this in? Brian tweets in that we don't want Jay Hardy.
Oh.
Rodney Garner doesn't want him, and they're going to go after Dejon Terry okay. over him. So, there you go. I'm fine. With that, trust Rodney Garner. Guy's been doing it a long time.
All right.
Louisville's baseball coach got 50% capacity after his little rant. Good for him. We gonna have unlimited capacity for that Arkansas series? What did Bill Lee say exactly, Nate? Said no need to restrict
Bill
attendance.
Bill Lee said this yesterday. Tweeted this yesterday. It's time. Indoor and outdoor sporting events should happen without caps on attendance or other arbitrary measures. I mean, it's a state school. Like, I don't know, like, who else needs to weigh in here? Let's go.
Well, if you do it, just don't you just do it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to make a big announcement and then have people get mad at you. You just say quietly, like,
start selling the
yeah,
tickets.
Just sell them until they're sold out. It's a big series coming up against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Got to take care of business this weekend.
Right.
Which we should.
Missouri. I mean, yeah. I would think that you could look around and see that, you know, places that have opened up more than you've opened up. And when I say you, I just mean anyone that's not as open as other places. And go, okay, they opened up more than us. Have any COVID issues? Oh, they did. They didn't? No COVID issues? Oh, there's actually less COVID the more opened up you are. Oh, that's funny how that happens. It's kind of weird. Maybe put a statistician on that. But okay, you're open and you're having less COVID and you're open. Okay, then maybe we should just open too. Let's maybe look at the results here and, you know.
Well, Dan Wilkins says we got to have our vaccine and proof of it to go to games.
Which proves that. I mean, I think you literally could read Dan Wilkins' takes, do the exact opposite, and just win at life.
Pat 40.
Yeah.
Dennis Dodd. Not a big fan of Dennis Dodd.
I mean, there's... I may have saved that for off the air.
Oh, okay.
I have. I kinda, offensive
I was about
line
to say
rankings.
there's a politician in Florida that's literally doing the exact opposite of a certain group of people in politics and just win.
Over the weekend, I had a conversation with someone who was up from Florida, and he was talking about DeSantis and said, everyone makes fun of him. He's kind of killing it.
Like, I mean, we won't acknowledge results, but if you actually acknowledge results, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Turn those machines back on. All right, Dave, you got the rankings? What, SEC or national?
This is Pro Football Focus, but it only goes through December the 3rd, so there are a couple of weeks after.
Okay.
But, I mean, we knew at this point.
Probably wouldn't help us much.
Yeah. Out of 127 FBS programs, where do you believe the Vols ranked?
Offensive line rating?
Yes.
Okay, let me think here. We had a
127.
Five-star, a five-star, a four-star, a five-star, and a five-star. So how many teams?
127.
Would they be
96.
Up? 78.
62.
Okay.
There you go.
So, like, middle of the pack.
I was going to say top 50, maybe.
There was some concern entering the season with how this offensive line would hold up outside of Trey Smith and Georgia transfer Cade Mays, and it hasn't been too pretty. To no one's surprise, Smith has been the top performer of this group, though he hasn't quite taken the kind of step forward that many expected. Smith recorded a 78.6 PFF grade in 2019, but that has taken a dip to 74.9 this season. Any idea where UCF ranked? According to Pro Football Focus,
we were 62.
Yeah.
Their offensive line, I'll go
39.
29.
114th.
Whoa.
UCF's offense, led by Dylan Gabriel, has been a strong one throughout 2020 despite an underwhelming 6-3 record, but the offensive line has prevented them from even further success more than anything. Six different linemen have played substantial snaps for UCF this season, and not one has posted a PFF grade above 60. Although altogether they have combined for the 8th worst offensive line PFF grade in the FBS, and every single one has allowed double-digit pressures.
That's not good, but it's kind of remarkable that they were averaging 40-something points a game with one of the worst offensive lines in the country. That gives me hope. I mean, let's just say next year we're middle of the road again. I mean, if he can
bump your win total up a little bit?
No. I'm good with 8-4. I don't think I'll get to 9-3 this month. Maybe a lot of things can happen. I don't know. That is remarkable. So maybe, I'm not saying you don't need a good offensive line, but clearly that doesn't seem to be. I mean, they average 200 yards rushing each game.
Yeah.
For 2 years. Behind that, surely we can be better than, what, 120th, did you say, Dave?
Well.
121st?
They were 114.
114? I mean, well, we can be better than that, right?
Well, that might be a good sign for, that just might mean that the scheme kind of produces.
Yeah, that's what.
You know, the Pro Football Focus grades, they watch every player every play.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that means that even when your offensive line doesn't win their one-on-one battles, the offense can still move the football.
Well, I remember in 07.
Because they're really trying to win one-on-one outside.
Yeah. In 07, when Cutcliffe, it was his second year back, I think Tennessee gave up 3 or 4 sacks on the season. Mm-hmm. And that's because Cutcliffe knew that the offensive line wasn't going to be that good, so they got rid of the ball fast and, you know, protected the quarterback that way. So, see, I mean, that's what Heupel wants to do, right? You just get the snap, make your read, make a throw. Got a couple guys who can move around a little bit. Okay. Sign me up.
We'll come back.
Would you
more.
Have guessed Tennessee's offensive line was middle of the...
Yeah, I mean that...
I'm surprised they're that high. I really did not think they'd be above 80.
But middle of the pack in the country means you're near the bottom of the SEC.
With
right?
4 or 5 stars and a 4
SEC
star.
Count SEC teams? Can you look that up?
Oh, yeah.
Up? Where we're in the league? Let's do that. We'll come back.
You probably
you know.
Just look beneath us.
I was going to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I went to start the article. I just scrolled down to the very bottom and
went
up.
Gotcha.
Such an optimistic 3-and-out.
Wasted time.
Sweet. Got my order number. You know, if all the Jamie Chadwell bobbleheads sell out, then they're going to double the donation to the... charity here. Looking forward to getting that in. We're just in time for the football season. What?
Nothing.
Raising money for a
good
cause.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Zach up next. Even though Davey tried to tell me it was Matt. I don't think it's Matt.
No, I said it wasn't Matt.
Well, yeah, he tried to tell me.
I pay attention.
Because it's Zach.
Well, there was a question about Matt earlier, and I just wasn't thinking. But I would have fixed it. I knew Zach was on the line.
There was a question about Matt. We'll get to that later.
What do you say? Houston, Nate, Davey, and Alec.
Morning, Zach.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, man. How about you?
Good. They got a Hugh Freeze bobblehead, too? I'll buy one of those.
Let me go look.
Hey,
we should get a Lane Kiffin, a Hugh Freeze, and a Jamie Chadwell, and just and just have them up here.
They do have a Lane Kiffin bobblehead
until either Heupel wins big or gets fired. One of the two.
Hey, you guys were talking before the break. I travel around to different states for my job, so you know I even traveled during the pandemic. Believe it or not, I know I'm probably not supposed to say that or might get canceled, but so I flew, you know, into Detroit, and just the level of stupidity between state boundaries with this whole rules thing. I was talking to the Delta concierge at Detroit Airport and asked him if the shuttle was running, and I got a snarky comment like, "Huh? No, of course not. you can't social distance on the plane train." Yet, guys, Delta just changed their policy where the middle seat is now full. So we had a packed plane. How can you social distance on the packed plane? And guess what? When I got to Atlanta, what did I ride to my baggage claim?
Shuttle.
The shuttle.
The plane train, yeah. Completely packed.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the richest part of the whole thing is that in Michigan there's more COVID than there is in Georgia.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it's
Detroit's like the Mecca.
Right. Yeah. No. It's completely an inverse relationship, and I'll tell you why. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. The more COVID restrictions you put on people, the more they're thinking about COVID. So when they get sick at all with anything, or someone they've been around gets something with anything, everyone runs to get tested. And the number one variable on how much COVID positive test you have is how many people get tested. It has nothing to do with the actual like amount of the virus moving around, because we overhype the whole thing that we can't even get an accurate measurement of the actual virus. Because it got so it got themed up into this whole thing, depending on where you were and how much people care or don't care about it, pay attention to it, don't pay attention to it, that overshadowed any real numerical analysis. So basically, we as a society screwed over any chance to measure the true data so that we can make accurate decisions, because we got into our own headspace so much. Like we screwed ourselves because we're stupid.
Dumb. And I stayed at a really nice hotel in downtown Detroit. You had to get screened before you went anywhere inside the hotel. So you go to the screening, and that place looks like Fort Knox. I mean, it looks like they're hiding gold. And the screening is literally, they ask you three questions. Have you been exposed to COVID? Do you have any of these symptoms? Then you get to wear a sticker around. Without that sticker, you can't move around the hotel. Now, come on. I'm sure that's really helping, too.
Yeah.
And you know what's happening? Because all these places are closed. Guess what I heard all night while I was at the hotel? People going to people's rooms and partying because the bars ain't open. That makes a lot of sense. I'm sure there's social distancing in there.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, that's like what they close the bars down on campus, Tennessee. It's like, yeah, all the kids are congregating in the dorm room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, duh. Like,
house party. Rager.
This whole thing sounds like Tennessee football program over 17 years. Just doesn't make any sense, and everything's just dumb and stupid. And,
well, it's exactly the same. They tell us every year, and every year we get excited about how good they're going to be, and then every year when the actual, like, when you finally get to the day where you can measure success and failure, it's a complete, like, just letdown. It's kind of like the Florida game over and over and over.
Yeah. You guys realize we're the school of first around here a lot. You know, we were the first school back when to give an assistant $1 million contract at football. Monty Kiffin.
Was he the first? Huh, okay.
And we're broke. We can't pay for any, you know, we can't pony up the dough for a coach. You guys were talking about Hamilton and Dooley. Mm-hmm. Kind of disagree a little bit. You said something about, you know, Hamilton was in a tough, I agree he was in a tough spot, but he created a tough spot.
True.
Lane Kiffin was too young to have this job to begin with. And, you know, I like Kiffin now, but, you know, it probably shouldn't have been after what, you know, Philip Fulmer built up a pretty good program. You know, he was a sexy hire. I was excited about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. Thought he did a good job his first year. But, again, you know, he's probably too young to get the job looking back. And then Hamilton made a panic hire. And that's when, right there, you pony up the dough, you pull a Mal Moore in Alabama, you say, you know what, we've been embarrassed here. It's late in the season. We got no choice. We're going to have to make this guy the highest paid coach ever. And you sit in that room and you make him tell you no 50 times. And back then we had a lot more to leverage. You know, we still had the power of the T. You know, it was just Kiffin that left after a year where Fulmer, you know, a couple of years ago took us to the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. So you had that brand power where you could have maybe got a Brian Kelly, a Gary Patterson. You know, who knows if those guys would have worked out, but they would have been a heck of a lot better than Derek Dooley. And so that's when you pulled the Mal Moore, I believe. But, you know, what do you do now? We're stuck in this mess.
Yeah, we're still picking up the pieces.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that we have found the worst boob after boob after boob. And you guys were talking of yesterday. I always say this. I don't think Heupel can be worse than the last three guys we had.
He won't be.
Well, he can't be worse than Pruitt. I mean, Pruitt was like had the worst losses in school history, all while cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if Heupel can't win, like we've already seen that. So yeah.
You guys. Nate, you said the perfect analogy the other day when you guys were trying to evaluate who of all these coaches were the worst. I mean, it's a pretty tight race, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you've got somebody that can't recruit, is so inept, can't run a program, everybody hates him. There's no doubt it's Jeremy Pruitt was the worst hot hire out of all three of those guys. No doubt about it. Worst
yep.
coach. And anyway, it's frustrating to me because, you know, the caller Jamie said it a long time. You know, we reach down a lot and not reach up. And so through the years in this football program, we've kind of lost what we've had in our tradition and our winning, where we should be reaching for the stars here. And, you know, I get with this particular hire, maybe you couldn't have done that. But in the past hires, I believe we could have done something different, pulled a Texas A&M.
Yeah, well, we're always worried about, you know, overspending on the front end. But all that does is make you have to overspend on the back end when you got to fire these guys. It's like they are so worried about overpaying for a good coach that won't work that they hire worse coaches so they can pay them less, but then when you fire them, you got to pay their buyout, and then you give them raises and extensions along the way when they show any, you know, glimmer of success, and then you've painted yourself into a corner even further.
We're like buyout you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our philosophy. I'll say this and get out of your hair, but on the way out is that if we can find $1 million for Kevin Steele and Monty Kiffin, we better be able to keep Tony Vitello because he's one of the best things over there right now. So let's pony up the dough and lock him in. Y'all take care.
Thanks for the call, Zach. Yeah.
I'm really hoping Danny Dubs is working with TV behind the scenes.
Yep.
That's
I mean, he said he was, so we'll see if he was telling us the truth.
Surely he wouldn't say that if it weren't true.
Right. No, I don't think
so. Because if Tony sees that and knows it's not true, then there's distrust. I'm sure they've been.
I mean, I'm sure they've talked. Just how are those talks going? I guess
you got to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I mean, I didn't mean that's like funny quote from a movie. Like literally, if you lowball him, he's just going to wait and see what other offers he can get from somebody else at the end of the season, and then the price might go up to keep him. So yep. Give him something right now that he can't say no to and get the stadium redone.
There you go.
Pretty easy.
Come back with more. Stick with us right here. Hour 2, 3 and out. Oh, you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been. And laugh and joke about me on the phone. You can tell my aunt, go back into the phone. Hour 2 continues live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's been a fun show, talking some Tennessee basketball, moving up in their recruiting rankings, football, you know, debating the offseason.
I think I read where a dude jumped up like 38 spots.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
It's nice to be moving up instead of usually we get hammered and moved down.
Yeah. No bias, though.
Okay. I didn't look at the first photos of the Game of Thrones spinoff, House of the Dragon. Did you?
Nope.
Actually, when I tried,
that's gonna flop.
You think so?
Yeah. It's doomed to fail. Everyone's got such a bad taste in their mouth; they don't want to go back and watch that.
Yeah, probably right.
Just a hunch.
You're probably right. I don't know. Do you think? Do you think everybody, it can go either that way or everybody just so, like, so mad about not having a good ending to the whole series that they just got to go get some more of it to get the bad taste out of their mouth?
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those things where everyone's standoffish, and then if it actually is good, then people will go in and start watching it.
They'll come back to it.
But I don't think it's going to be, like, appointment television like Game of Thrones was.
Mm. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people right now are pissed off with the way it ended, and are like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to watch it after how badly they
right.
screwed up.
But then if it's really good, they'll be back in.
I mean, for me, like, I'm kind of disappointed with the way they ended it, but I know, like, once this comes out, I'm probably tuning in.
I'm going to be in wait-and-see mode. Just me. Did you see what Jimbo Fisher said about Nick Saban?
No.
He was asked at the Houston Touchdown Club on Wednesday if there was any chance at beating Nick Saban other than him retiring. And he said, quote, we're going to beat his ass while he's there. Don't worry.
Okay, Jimbo.
I mean, he coached under Saban. They're kind of buddies. But I don't know that I wouldn't be taking any shots at Nick Saban. Like, the one thing you don't want him to do is now have a vendetta. I mean, he then went on and praised him and said, you know, I worked with him. He's a great guy, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if Nick Saban's the kind of guy who can take a joke like that.
Mm-hmm. No, maybe Nick sees the quote, calls up Jimbo. They have a nice conversation about it.
Hey, bro, I'm going to hang 70 on you this year now, just so you know.
No, Jimbo goes, oh, you know, Nick, I'm just messing with
you. I was getting the fans riled up, yeah.
Nick hangs up. Puts it up as bulletin board material.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to remember that.
Yeah. No, he will. Like, he'll say to his team, like, Jimbo Fisher said they're going to beat our ass. All right, what are we going to do about it? That's what they do. They find ways to pretend to be slighted.
Mm-hmm.
This is – I was thinking –
Well, this
though,
is the year, right? I mean, this is the year.
Is it? I mean, they lost Kellen Mond.
Nah, I didn't think it was that good.
Well.
Overrated. A&M schedule. They play Arkansas the fourth week of the season after some non-conference games at AT&T Stadium.
Anybody good in the non-conference for them?
No. At Colorado.
Oh, okay.
That's their best game. So they have Arkansas at a neutral site. Then they get Mississippi State at home and then Alabama at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, their schedule's always kind of tough. And then here's for Alabama. They have to play Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss the week before. They are at home for that one before then traveling to Texas A&M.
Gotcha.
But they've already played Miami to open the season at Mercedes-Benz at Florida in week 3. It's Alabama at Florida September 18th.
Okay.
And then they have Ole Miss at home the week before they travel to Texas A&M. So you might get a little letdown, road game, letdown action. for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, they suffer a lot of those, the letdown.
I mean, that's really the only thing we got. That's the best thing we got going for us with the Florida matchup. They got to play Alabama the week before. Which is very odd.
Look, I'm not saying we're going to win that game. I think I don't think that game is like a unwinnable contest.
Not like some of these games we've gone into recently, like where we get Georgia late in the season. We're already kind of just like, it's 41-0.
Yeah.
Not that kind of feeling.
No. Not predicting to win just yet, but
I'm excited just to see the Alabama-Florida game the week before, just kind of see what happens.
Gauge
them. That's going to be nuts. Yeah. Florida will have played nobody, so we'll have no idea if they're good or bad.
Bama?
They're playing Florida Atlantic, the Open, and they are going on the road to play South Florida.
Really?
Which is kind of weird, in Raymond James Stadium.
Huh.
The Bulls. But, I mean, they're not that good.
No.
And that's where the Clemson guy went, Clemson coordinator.
That's a neutral site.
Pretty bad. No, that's their stadium.
USF plays in Tampa?
Mm-hmm. I will double check, but
no, I'm pretty sure you're right.
No, they're in Tampa, but I didn't know that they play in the Bucks stadium.
I know they used to. It says that's their home stadium.
Huh.
Raymond James.
It's not very south.
Good point.
They want to call themselves South Florida, but they're north.
Kind of mid Florida.
You consider Tampa Bay North Florida?
No, but I don't consider it south.
Yeah.
I would say they're more north than they are south.
Yeah.
Really?
I agree.
I need a Floridian to weigh in here. I feel like...
David.
I don't know. No, I feel like if you're below Orlando, it's... You know, Jacksonville.
Geography.
Tallahassee. Pensacola. That's all North Florida. Gainesville, even. Ocala.
It looks like about middle. If you go
I'm not really
north to the border and then south to the Keys. About middle. So I see what Davey's saying. I can get on board with that.
I don't know. You think Orlando's the dividing line? Like if you're below Orlando, people just call it South Florida?
Yeah, probably.
If you're above Orlando, it's just North Florida. Like Daytona.
Sure. We can go with that.
Maybe.
I'm okay with it.
I'm not an expert on...
Are we South Tennessee?
We're East Tennessee. You know this.
There's no such thing.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, like you live here.
There's West Florida.
Does anyone ever say? But that's my point. There's stuff. There's ways people describe geography, and it just becomes part of the culture.
No one
ever says South Tennessee or North Tennessee.
Nope.
Tennessee is a very long, rectangular.
You gotta put the dividing line somewhere. Is Knoxville right in the middle between North and South Tennessee?
It doesn't exist North or South Tennessee.
People can't say that. South Florida. They don't say South Tennessee. See, Florida runs vertically. Tennessee runs horizontally. That would probably be why.
Florida actually kind of runs both, like the Panhandle.
Well, it's true. But it's got another name, right? It's called the Panhandle.
Kind of like Michigan with the UP.
See what happens when I Google South Tennessee.
The Upers and the Trolls and the...
Uper.
Mm-hmm. You know the Trolls, right?
No.
Yeah, if you live in the regular part of Michigan, you're called a Troll.
In the Mitten?
Because you live under the bridge.
Oh.
The Upers call the people live below that aren't Upers. They call them trolls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, but I had to get that from somebody that lives there, not just, you just don't make that up. You just don't go by like, oh, do you call that South Michigan?
I'll tell you the real cowards are is Wisconsin for not taking back that Upper Peninsula.
Sad.
I mean, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
Michigan got the Mitt, they got the lake, and then they got the peninsula. And there's Wisconsin just hanging out.
Just.
Giving up their borderland.
Yeah.
Sad.
Tennessee would never.
Too busy in the cheese.
We won't even give Georgia water.
Mm-mm.
Much less land.
They wanted us to.
I mean, they wanted both. But
someone from Michigan just told me that literally no one says trolls. Did you make that up?
No. Rob and Sandy actually do. So I don't know who that is, but I did not make that up.
Well, I don't want to out him on the radio, but I'll tell you during the break.
Okay, who it was?
Yep.
All right.
Maybe they're a troll themselves, so
troll.
I don't want to think they're referred to as trolls.
This is my Wolverine insider.
I mean, if you are a troll, that'd be an accurate take. I think Alex is on to something here.
Hmm.
I mean, rednecks don't go around saying they're red. Well, that, never mind. It's a bad example. They sometimes do. I think you take pride in being a troll, maybe. So, there you go. I need this Florida, though. Where's David Britt when we need him? Is he's a Tampa guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So does he consider himself a South Floridian? Is that South Florida?
No.
It is the University of South Florida.
Daytona, maybe.
What?
Daytona would be South Florida. More south than Tampa.
Isn't Daytona north of Tampa? Northeast?
I don't think so, but now I'm really nervous to look it up.
I'm pretty sure it is, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
I mean...
Yep, it absolutely
looking
is.
Looking right at the map
100%.
Here. It's like way up
there. About 150 miles northeast.
Real cartographer you are, Chris.
Well, when I went to Daytona in high school, it felt like a longer drive than that.
He's no Buster Bluth.
Imagine I'd drive all the way down to Miami.
Nope, wouldn't do it. I'd just fly into Fort Lauderdale or something. All right, that's been Geography.
Some of my favorite segments, really.
Mm-hmm.
Final segment hour number two.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. It's brought to you by Brothers Bedding. Check them out online at brothersbedding.com. Really loving our mattress we got from Brothers Bedding. Home of the two-sided mattress. You can even watch them be made, really. And they can firm them up or soften them up even after you buy it, after you sleep on it for a while. It's pretty cool. It's brothersbedding.com. They got 6 area locations. So check them out online and then stop in and test out some of their two-sided mattresses for yourself. Brothersbedding.com. I've sent out a text to Tampa Vol to ask if.
Mm.
Oh, and he has already confirmed, yes, it's geographically more central, but it is considered South Florida.
Fascinating.
So there you go.
Hmm.
Now we know. The mystery has been solved.
Does he have any thoughts on South Tennessee? How would that work, though, Dave? Like, so if I say East Tennessee, like, that's a pretty good limiter. If I say North Tennessee, that could be the Tri-Cities or, like, Houston County.
Yeah, you typically need to clarify it by Southwest, South Central, Southeast.
Okay.
That'd be pretty funny.
I love how you're saying, like, you need to clarify it as if people ever do this.
Yeah, no, never.
No one does that.
I had to explain to somebody.
I've heard people say Upper East Tennessee, like talking about the Tri-Cities.
From Northeast Tennessee.
No one says that. No one.
Yeah, no one says North.
They say Upper East.
Mm-hmm. Because if you just said Upper, you wouldn't know if you're talking about, like, Clarksville or Kingsport.
Right. Upper East, Upper Middle.
Make your guess.
Which are
lower
both,
Middle.
Which are both, you know, just minutes from the state line, but way, way apart.
Sean wants to know if I can do shock collar geography trivia.
That would be funny.
I'm pretty good at geography. I didn't know where exactly Daytona was. Again, I just remember driving there and it took forever and seemed like it was further away than Tampa, but it's fine. I'm an adult now.
What's the capital of Illinois?
I got it when you give up.
I'm not going to give up. I think I should give up. Go ahead, Alex.
Springfield.
That's right.
You want to try Missouri?
Nope.
Columbia.
It's Jefferson City.
Yeah.
Schnikes. Oh, yeah, one in stripes is talking about how they're southern West Virginia, but then, you know, people live in southwest Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, southern. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty confusing. It's kind of like what Davey was saying, I think, during the break the other day about Kevin on talking about SeaWorld. Is it SeaWorld or SeaWorld?
Fish, ocean, shark.
Whale.
Who we got on the phone there, Dave?
Blake in Tampa.
Yes.
Let's get Blake.
An
expert. Our second
expert.
Tampa expert to weigh in. What's up, Blake?
What's up, fellas? How are we doing this morning?
Doing well. How's South Florida treating you?
It's central.
It's South Florida. Central Florida is Orlando.
Yep. There you go.
That's where UCF is.
So if you're below Orlando,
that's the cutoff.
You're in South Florida, right?
So technically, it's weird. It's where the turnpike actually turns towards Orlando. So turnpike up near Ocala, coming down towards Leesburg. Once you hit that mark and you take the turnpike in, you're in Central Florida. If you go anything west of that, that's considered South Florida. It probably has to deal with the name of the university that's in Tampa. It also has to deal geographically because Miami is lower than what Naples is. It's a very, very interesting concept.
Yeah, David Britt says it has to do with the tropical climate zones and general culture.
Huh.
Does he live in Tampa full time now?
I think so.
Yeah. You guys should go get a beer.
We need to go to a Bucks game or something.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a big Bucks fan.
Yeah.
He got bit by a shark last month.
Really?
Yeah, did you not see this?
I missed this.
He got bit by a shark. Well, more like a cut. Got his leg. But got him pretty good, though.
Interesting. Yeah, we're going to have to go grab a beer and talk about shark bites.
Yeah, he scubas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, now my other thing that I wanted to say was I caught the tail end because I just got back on the live stream. I'm working, obviously.
10-4.
The Northeast Tennessee, East Tennessee, Upper East Tennessee, however you want to say it, I actually have family that lives in Jellicoe.
Okay.
I also have in-laws that live in Bristol. So very different.
Very different. And
I have the cousin that lives in Jellicoe. She literally tells me all the time, nobody calls it North Tennessee. We're just basically Kentucky. Nobody calls it. That's not North. North Tennessee would be more of the middle of the state, northern end, Clarksville type.
So I'm looking at a map, and what I'm determining is that everything south of Lenoir City is South Tennessee, and everything north of Lenoir City is North Tennessee.
That makes no sense.
Lenoir City.
Latitude, yeah, if you draw a line, latitude-wise, that's where I'm calling it.
I want you to go tell somebody in White County, Tennessee, that they live in North Tennessee.
What the hell is White County?
See how that... It's west of
White County.
Sparta.
Yeah, it's straight up above, kind of like the...
Never heard of it. Those people aren't important to me.
You've never heard of Sparta?
I've heard of Sparta. I've not heard of White County. White County, sorry, but you're irrelevant.
Tell somebody in Murfreesboro that they live in North Tennessee.
No, they're actually, they're
since
central.
They are north of Lenoir City. I'm looking at it right now. They're just a smidgen north of Lenoir City.
Sorry, David determined the rules. They're North Tennessee.
Okay, Smyrna, which is south of Nashville. Tell them they're in North Tennessee. They're going to be like, they're going to look at you like you're nuts.
I'm looking at it. That looks, they're right in line.
You probably should have just gone with 40 being the
That's actually.
That would have made a lot more sense.
No, I like my idea better.
Yes, here's let's not use a physical line. Let's just use a made-up line from where you're from. That makes perfect sense, Dave.
It's usually how these things actually start, to be honest.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Smyrna looks like they're in the same line with us, so they can technically
What are you looking at?
Anyway. Looking at Google Maps.
Yeah, Smyrna's way north of Lenoir City.
I'll say this as well, that my in-laws that live in Bristol, they actually call it Northeast Tennessee, but anybody from Johnson City says that they live in Upper East Tennessee.
I've always heard it Upper East Tennessee.
Yeah, I after going to college at ETSU, and that's all it was called, hearing them say Northeast Tennessee only refers to them and people in Kingsport. And I'm like, does that not count Johnson City? Nope, they call it Upper East Tennessee. We call it Northeast Tennessee.
Have you ever heard anyone ever say South Tennessee?
Never in my entire 28 years of living in Knoxville before I moved down here, not a single person I ever knew in my life, even people from Chattanooga called it, hey, we live in East Tennessee.
East Tennessee, yeah.
Even big dumb idiots know better.
Now they're South
Knoxville. Except one. I got to think of one.
Pulaski, that's South Central Tennessee.
South Central Tennessee.
I had to explain to a new guy that moved here what South Knoxville was. That was interesting because he's like, wait, that doesn't feel like it's South. I was like, yeah, but I was like, were you across the river? He's like, yeah, I was across the river. I was like, that's South.
Knoxville's very easy. We have 40 and 75 to divide, but it's not South Knoxville until you cross that river.
And you cross the river, yeah. It's all about the river.
I called it because I lived in South Knoxville. I lived right on the Seymour line off of
Seymour.
Whatever. Yeah, James White kind
yep,
of area.
Yep.
Literally, the minute that you hit the bridge, the minute your two front tires hit the bridge, you're in South Knoxville. That's
yep.
the way I claim
yep.
it.
Uh-huh. You know what they say about South Knoxville?
What do they say about South
Come
Knoxville?
Come across that river, get your ass beat. That's what they say.
You're damn right. Fellas, take it easy.
Be good, Blake.
From South Knoxville to South Florida. That was Blake in Tampa. Thanks
Beautiful.
For the call.
Beautiful.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number three.
South Central. What an idiot.
I did get a text. Somebody said they love geography on 3 and Out. Oof.